Okay, welcome to this June 7th meeting of the Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee. Looking around, we have everyone here except for Barbara Spagnola, who's working a poll, I believe, today on Election Day. So she's out doing something beneficial other than donating her time here. So we have a quorum, and we'll call this meeting to order. And if we could have a moment of silence, please. Thank you, and please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, staff, any announcements or presentations? No? Okay. Any advisory committee members, any announcements? Okay. Seeing none. We're going to move on to public comment, and this is for items not on the agenda. On the agenda is a discussion of the water reclamation facility process. So if you have anything that is not related to that, now's your time to come up and have 3 minutes to make some comments. Otherwise, please reserve your comments for when we get to public comment on the agendized item. Okay, seeing no public comment, we'll move on to the consent calendar, and that's approval of the minutes from the May 3rd meeting. Any comments or questions from the advisory committee?
I move we accept the minutes.
Well, let's take public comment first.
Okay.
Just in case. Any public comment on the consent calendar? All right, seeing none, you can have your motion back.
Okay, I move that we accept the minutes as stated.
I second.
Okay. We have a motion from Bill and a second from Stephen. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, none, and I'll abstain. It wasn't at the last meeting. That moves us to business items. First is B1, our subcommittee updates and recommendations. Do we have any subcommittee updates? I'll start with finance. They're first on the list here. Okay. Go ahead, Jenny.
I think it's on.
Is it on now? Okay. Okay, well, I have a few concerns that I wanted to state first. In the April and May meetings, several community members expressed concerns about the report to the City Council on potential WRF sites, and that was dated April 29th, and they specifically were concerned about the cost to build the WRF, and I'm just directing this to Mike. How have their concerns been addressed? So if you can keep that in mind, and I'll just go through the rest.
I think you need to pull
it. You can bring those microphones as close to you as possible. Bring it right in.
Okay. How's that? Is that better? Okay. And then second, Mike, I just wanted to mention on behalf of Barbara, who, as John had mentioned, she's doing her civic duty. She's the lead inspector at a polling precinct at the moment. And she had several concerns as well regarding the budget. Her main concern dealt with an article that appeared in the May 19th through June 1st edition of the Bay News entitled Sewer Project Costs Jumped $25 Million. And neither she nor I, and I suspect many others in the audience, understood the math used to justify this huge cost increase. So if you can get to that in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I attended the 2016 California Financing Coordinating Committee Funding Fair on May 10th in San Luis Obispo, and here are some of the highlights. The funding fair was an opportunity for the public to learn about currently available grants, loan and bond financing programs for infrastructure projects. And some of the takeaway messages for me anyway were with regard to the Clean Water State Revolving Fund Program. It provides an average of $425 million a year in low-interest financing for water quality projects. And funding for wastewater and water recycling projects include wastewater treatment, local sewers, sewer interceptors, and water reclamation facilities. So they've also included a new item, expanded use projects include non-point source projects, estuary projects, and stormwater reduction and treatment facilities. So the interest rate is about half of most recent general obligation bond sale at the time of funding, and the typical range then is 2 to 3%. They also offer principal forgiveness. It's available to municipalities for green project reserve eligible projects, that is water energy audits, and other eligible projects such as water reuse, water energy reducing devices. The second funding mechanism that interests me was a small community wastewater funding, and this has an annual appropriation of about $8 million, and prop funding, Proposition 1 funding is of this is $280 million. So eligible applicants are small communities, that is less than 20,000 people, small disadvantaged communities, that is with the median household income, MHI, of less than or equal to 80% of the statewide MHI, and small disadvantaged communities with wastewater rates that are greater than 1.5% of the community's MHI. The third was a water recycling funding program, and this, the purpose of this is to promote use of treated municipal wastewater to augment or offset state local fresh water supplies, and that includes recycled water treatment, recycled water storage, and groundwater recharge. And this includes low-interest loans and grants. Let's see, Proposition 1, groundwater sustainability funding. This is $800 million in funding available to prevent or clean up contamination of groundwater that serves or has served as drinking water source. And I think Richard has spoken to this many times in the past. Eligible projects include those that prevent or clean up contamination of groundwater that serves or has served as a source of drinking water, including groundwater recharge, to prevent or reduce contamination of wells. There's an integrated regional water management that's also part of Prop 1. This has almost $33 million available. Again, a lot of the bulk of this is targeted for disadvantaged communities. And other programs that may be of interest to Morro Bay are the Water Energy Grant Program and the Desalination Grant Program. So after, I have more detail on this, but after the presentations concluded, I spoke with two representatives from the State Water Resources Control Board about Morro Bay's WRF project, and they told me that technical assistance was available for small communities that is less than 10,000, and the assistance includes help with filling out applications and financial assistance for legal, engineering, and rate studies. So I said, we just are a tad over 10,000, and they said that's not a hard and fast rule, it's simply a policy, and they definitely encourage us to contact them to work something out. The only other thing I wanted to mention was with regard to the Cayuca Sustainable Water Project. I still continue to hope that Morro Bay and Cayucas can iron out their differences and construct and operate just one facility. Nevertheless, as I mentioned at the last WRF CAC meeting, the CSD has selected a preferred site that's at Toro Creek with an estimated cost of $34.2 to $34.9 million. So the CSD Board of Directors held a meeting on May 19th to provide an update on the Cayuca Sustainable Water Project, and the presentation was made by Water Systems Consulting, and this information is available on CSD's website. So here's what I learned. They're looking at three different treatment process alternatives. One is conventional activated sludge. The second is oxidation ditch. And the third is membrane bioreactor, or MBR. So the next steps for Cayucos is their consultant will refine and evaluate alternatives based on capital cost, life cycle cost, adaptability for potable reuse, operational flexibility, maintenance requirements, chemical needs, odor footprint, GHG emissions, and energy efficiency. And recommendations will be provided at the next CSD board meeting, which I assume is going to be next month. So that's it. Do you want to answer Barbara's concerns?
Sure, I'd be glad to. So I did receive an email from Barbara yesterday that she had sent to Finance Committee and also to me and Janine. And basically what she had said was, I know one of her concerns in our last meeting was how revenue was had been presented back in, the February or March update. And so what we've done is we've added the revenue information based on the rate study into the table. And the response I had gotten back from Barbara was that, I'll just read what she bases it. She said, the budget review summary attached to the agenda is an excellent start to tracking and managing the overall budget and actuals reporting for the total WRF project. The revenue information is helpful, and we can refine both the revenue and expense data as we proceed further with this project. So that was kind of her conclusion. Regarding questions that had come up at past meetings from members of the public on cost opinions and that sort of thing, I've just continued to direct folks to the appendix that we put together on those siting studies. The appendix has a lot of detail in there about what the unit costs were, what the basis were, the cost opinions, and how we arrived at them. So I think there's a lot of information there, but I'm glad to respond to any specific questions folks might add. I'd also like to point out that, you know, the methodology we followed, really the purpose of that methodology is to allow a comparison of sites. When you get into the detailed value engineering, you could do that for any one of the locations that have been analyzed. So what we've tried to do is present our assumptions as clearly as we can so that somebody could take that information and come up with their own evaluation if they didn't necessarily agree with it.
Could I make a recommendation?
Sure.
Actually, I would suggest creating a flyer. And I understand that all the detailed cost estimates are going to come out in the facility plan. But given that this has caused a lot of confusion and angst.
Yeah, let me jump in. The one thing I didn't address was the article. And New Times and also the article in Bay News both inaccurately stated that the project costs had gone up $25 million, plus or minus. What they had done is taken 20 years of operating and maintenance costs and added that on. So they took a 20-year present worth analysis and all together and said this is project cost. Whereas what we had been doing, they added that together to the capital cost. So that adds the other, you know, $20 million worth of that O&M cost, they added on and said this is, and presented it as a capital cost, which it really wasn't. And so we've asked for a correction from New Times, and then I also have an email. We received an email, or John Rickenbach, who's on vacation this week and next week. John received an email too from Bay News asking, you know, because they had been in correspondence with the city manager, and they're also have asked us for information so that they can print a correction too.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I got a question. Mike, did New Times and Bay News just on their own do that, or they're obviously talking to somebody in staff?
Well, yeah, I mean, and they did. I know for a fact, I can't speak to Bay News, but I know that New Times did talk to John Rickenbach, and I believe they talked to city staff as well. What they had done is taken one of the summary tables out of our report where we showed a full present worth analysis and just read off that. They just took that bottom row and reported it in the newspaper. And what they missed were the capital costs up above that. So, and I can't speak to why they both did. I'm not sure.
Well, I have a question, too. Are you going to address the finance status of this project later in this meeting? Or are you going to do it now or later?
Yes, sir. Part of my update is the budget status report. So I'll address it in that item.
Okay, environmental. Is there an update period from environmental?
Not engineering.
And not on engineering?
No.
Okay. Then any public comment on the update? Seeing none, I will close this item. It's just receive and consider. So we'll move on to the program update. So,
okay.
Mike, you're on.
Thank you. So We'll get to the PowerPoint at the end of the presentation. I've put a few slides together. But really what I wanted to do was the intention of this meeting is to provide an update. As you all recall, the Citizens Advisory Committee had made recommendations to City Council to move forward with the Tri-W site at the last meeting and also to pull the Rigetti site out of consideration, among other motions. We presented those recommendations to Council with our own recommendation that nothing be pulled off the table yet, but that we recommended, staff recommended proceeding with the Tri-W site because of cost certainty, what we perceive as lower risk, and the ability to do multiple things and possibly meet multiple goals at that site. So we'll walk through that. In terms of accomplishments and milestones overall, and we don't, I'll tell you when it's time to look at the PowerPoint, it's right at the end, but we continued coordination with State Water Resource Control Board for the SRF loan for planning and design. They've asked for some more information. We're anticipating we'll, within the next 30 to 60 days, that we'll receive notification on whether that's on approval for that. We completed the siting study that was referenced a little while ago for comparison of the Mora Valley, Chevron, Toro Creek, and the what we would like to start calling the South Bay Boulevard site instead of the Tri-W site. And we provided a siting study update to Council on May 10th. We continued outreach with South Bay Boulevard site neighbors. We completed an internal draft of the salinity control plan. As you recall, that's looking at how to handle water softeners at people's homes and how to handle the Culligan discharge. And so we've got an internal draft of that we're reviewing. We've continued analyzing groundwater data and water reuse options within Mora Valley. And we mailed the flyer to city residents discussing staff recommendations for Tri-W. We'll get into some more specifics on some outreach and things in a few minutes. We also have included the updated budget and expenses report. This is a template that was provided by Finance Subcommittee quite a while ago. We prepared an initial version of it, I believe, for the February or March meeting, but it didn't include the revenue. And we did add the revenue item in, which is based on the city's rate study or adopted rate study and user rates. And it also shows the grant that the city's been awarded from Regional Water Quality Control Board. So, or State Water Resource Control Board, I'm sorry. So as we move forward and as we're pursuing more grants, then you'll begin to see those show up in the revenue column. And as we get more clarity on the overall project budget, more refinement through the facility master plan and master reclamation plan process, you'll see the top part of that expand as well. And so our goal is to provide quarterly updates per direction from the Finance Subcommittee to Council and also WRFCAC with that higher level of detail of actual costs. You know, we've included staff costs and other things that had not been included, you know, at the end of last year with the financial reports we'd originally done. So the goal of the facility master plan is really to develop that more refined phase one water reclamation facility project budget than the estimates of the 2014 site options report, which were really kind of the origin of that $75 million budget that had been included in the rate study. So what I'd like to do is run through a few slides in the PowerPoint. So first thing I like to do is bring everybody back to the community goals. We do this every meeting, but just to remind everyone. The goals for the water reclamation facility project are to produce tertiary disinfected wastewater at a minimum, produce reclaimed wastewater cost-effectively, allow for on-site composting if possible. What we've seen in past meetings is that goal is not compatible with other goals like neighborhood friendliness and that sort of thing. So that goal has dropped to the wayside. Designing for energy recovery, that's something that we've kind of has gotten some new attention because with the South Bay Boulevard site, we may have more room for that sort of solar panels or other energy alternative energy systems that the city had considered. Designing to treat for contaminants of emerging concern or anticipating that those will be regulated in the future. Allowing for other municipal uses. We've talked about the city's corporation yard, which is basically kind of the office building and the parking area for the, you know, 9 or 10 city employees in public works, in addition to the 8 or 10 that work with at the water reclamation facility. Ensuring compatibility with neighboring land uses, and then becoming operational within 5 years. So wanted to give a quick update on public outreach, and I don't know if I don't think Debbie Rudd with RRM is here, but I'll give an update. She and John Rickenbach have met with a number of stakeholders and property owners around the what we call the South Bay Boulevard site. We sent out the project update postcard in early May, and that was pretty well received. Folks felt like it was pretty succinct and gave good information. We received positive feedback on that. It just gave folks an update on where city was in the siting selection process, that staff had recommended moving forward with that Tri-W South Bay Boulevard site, and that you know, that the council meeting on the 14th, the city would make a determination on which site to proceed with for master planning and permitting. We had a meeting with the Blue Heron Terrace Mobile Home Homeowners Association on May 4th to respond to some of their questions and concerns about the Tri-W site. They're located about a half a mile away from one of the potential sites we're looking at for the water reclamation facility. They're on the south side of the highway. Had a number of questions about what impacts might be to traffic and that sort of thing, but it was a good meeting. They had good questions. They'd hiked up to the top of the hill and checked out the site, and so we're able to kind of provide some input. But it was a positive meeting. We've encouraged them to come to the WRFCAC meeting or council meetings and provide their input, but we thought it was a good meeting. We've also reached out to a number of agencies, the Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation District, Fish and Wildlife, the National Estuary Program, and County Parks Department and the golf course. Debbie can speak to more on that when she arrives. I know she was going to wait over at the Vets Hall in case folks accidentally showed up there. I want to apologize for the miscommunication on that. We set up these WRFCAC meetings pretty far in advance, but hadn't realized there was a conflict with voting. And we apologize for any confusion there, but Debbie's there to direct folks to come here if they show up. In terms of County Parks Department and golf course, you might have read some articles in the local papers about the golf course's need for water at Dairy Creek and also near the state park. So we've having discussions with them as part of the recycled water study element of this. So received a little over 30 emails that came directly to me. I don't know what all goes to council members and that sort of thing, but I can tell you what, and I thought this was interesting. This is not a statistical analysis of responses or anything like that, but I wanted to run through with you generally what the comments had been. So I got over, I received over 30 emails since that May 2016 project update postcard went out. A few were requests for some additional information or, you know, wanted to know where they could find more information. Really didn't specify site preference. About 29 of those, so, you know, roughly 90% of them, I'd say, were in support of the Tri-W site specifically. One was in support of the existing wastewater plant location. One was in support of whatever the lowest cost project might be, no site preference specified. And one was specifically in support of the Rigetti project. What was really interesting is many of them had the same comment that was in our siting report and in our staff recommendation, in that they were concerned over project delays and they were concerned about the potential of those delays to impact the project cost and expressed an urgency for moving forward. And I saw that in many of the emails that came through. Also, many expressed preference for the Tri-W site and said, even if the costs are higher, that we still feel this is the best way to go. So I thought that was interesting. I felt like, you know, again, it was only 30-some-odd emails, and there may be other folks in the room today that had a different opinion from what the majority opinion was, but I just wanted to share that because folks had taken a lot of time to write their thoughts out and send them in, and I appreciated that. So, project schedule overview. So, assuming that council moves forward next Tuesday with staff's recommendation to to pursue the facility at that South Bay Boulevard Tri-W site. Facility master plan would be scheduled for completion in December of this year. Master reclamation plan would be complete in March 2017, so about 3 months after. Environmental impact report would be completed around about a year from now, and the wharf construction would be completed in the June time frame, so about 5 years from now. Which is within, you know, regional board's direction to council was have the plant built in 2021. So this would still give us some cushion there within their directive or letter to the city. So next steps, council is going to select a site at June 14th meeting. Our recommendation is the Tri-W or South Bay Boulevard site. We are continuing development of the draft memorandum of understanding. We do have a draft going back and forth between the city staff and the property owner. Reinitiate the facility master planning process. One thing I did want to point out is the facility master plan, we did not receive the scope amendment from the facility master plan consultant in time for this meeting. But what I'm going to plan to do is I have a final version of that I want to work with the engineering subcommittee on between now and the council meeting, just so I can get your comments and convey them to council. So we do have a draft of that I want to get comments on. It winds up being about a 16% increase over the original project budget. Original project budget was $710,000. This would add $116,000 to it. If approved, it includes additional time for the meetings. They were involved in a lot of the open houses that we had. Also includes going back and revising. There were a couple of internal memos they had submitted on direct potable reuse and indirect potable reuse, and they'll need to go back and revise those for the new location. There also is additional work they need to do on pipeline alignment and really nailing that down. So we reviewed it, gone back and forth, and I'm going to provide it to the engineering subcommittee for comments prior to going to council with it next week.
I have a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
When we talk about the Tri-W, are you talking about which parcel are you talking about, city
county.
Or county?
County.
County.
That's correct. Yeah. So we're going to initiate the master reclamation plan. We wanted to wait until we had the site nailed down just so we don't spend a lot of money looking at alternative wharf sites within that. And then we're going to begin the EIR scoping process and continue the environmental studies that have already started there at that Tri-W, what we're going to be calling the South Bay Boulevard site. So at this point, I'll open to any questions that the committee has. Try to respond while I can.
Go for it.
Real quick, on the salinity control plan, you said you've completed the internal draft, and I think that came through PWAB, as I remember originally was the first time. It might have been here, but I get my brain mixed up sometimes on which board it was. But the when can we expect to see the draft of what you pulled together as far as that goes?
What we'll do, I'm going to review the draft first and work on this. Is so what we had originally done was the salinity identification phase of the work, and
right.
You recall we brought that to WRFCAC with a presentation. Mm-hmm. Talked about how, you know, we could feasibly through very low cost methods reduce the salt input to the sewer collection system or the wastewater collection system by 20%. And reduce our operating costs and our capital costs at the water reclamation facility. And so now what the next phase of the work is to identify what are the best approaches. Is it, ordinances, public outreach regarding self-regenerating water softeners, how to handle what the options might be for permitting Culligan so that they're not discharging to the collection system, but so that we're handling them the way many what I call clean brine dischargers that are treating, potable water supplies, what many of them do with their brines, and looking at the ocean outfall as a component of that.
So the draft will cover
those. Yeah, it's the implementation.
In the next few weeks, you think we'll see something?
Yes, sir. So my goal would be after we're looking at it'll either be the July or August timeframe.
Oh, okay.
So and we'll bring that back to the full WRFCAC.
Oh, okay. And then the second question I had is I noticed you were doing the outreach on the South Bay Boulevard mm-hmm. site, and I'll call that since that's where you want to go with it, the name, I mean. You spoke to the Blue Heron people over at the Mobile Home Park. Did you talk at all to the Casa de Flores side, which is actually closer?
Yes.
I guess I just don't want to find us in a situation again where, you know, 100 people show up or whatever the case.
We have a meeting Thursday at Casa de Flores to meet with the residents there. So we're actually going to have
It's going to happen.
And we have talked to the management there, but we felt like it was really important. They're inviting the families who might have questions or concerns, and so we're going to meet with them specifically Thursday. And I'm not sure where, you know, if you guys see Debbie when she comes in, we can pull her up to give more specific information on the individuals she's met with.
No, I just wondered if it had happened or occurred. That's it. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, on Friday I received a notice email about the move to this location.
Yes, sir.
And in that notice it said that the purpose was to accommodate additional people. Who wrote that? Because that's not true. The Vets Hall holds more people.
Oh,
and the reason we're here is because of the pools.
What happened? So it actually there were two moves people may not know about. The first move was over to I think the studio room,
okay.
which was really small, and then we realized because we didn't realize multi-purpose room was open or was available, and so then we moved just across the building.
And real quick, you were talking about the increase to Black & Veatch's contract. What was the amount?
$116,000.
And what triggered that? Just because we're moving to Tri-W or
moving
because of the delays?
Moving to Tri-W, they had 6 months delays.
Okay.
There was upfront work they had done, you know, back in Rancho, when we were looking at Rancho Colina initially. Now,
they were never really doing anything site-specific at that time, were they?
We did not get into you know, as you recall, there was the initial there was a tech memo they put together to look at the what they called on-site supporting facilities, and we had some mapping and some site plans and stuff they'd worked
right.
out there. So there was some initial work that took place at Rancho Colina. Now we did stop once we realized it wasn't going anywhere, and we didn't continue moving forward there. But we also did get Black & Veatch to look at, you know, siting issues and at the Rigetti site, even though we didn't produce a memo coming out of that, just from the engineering perspective.
Right.
So we did have them engaged on some of that other work, even though you didn't see deliverables. But as soon as we saw that we were going to need to look at a different site, we did stop.
Also, this will have an impact on their force main lift station design.
That's correct.
And
pipeline alignment.
Collection system modifications that will be needed.
Go ahead, Valerie.
I have a question in regards to the emails.
No, it's on. It's not on.
Emails that you received
mm-hmm.
were somewhere around 30.
Over 30,
were in favor of the moving to Tri-W,
mm-hmm.
regardless of cost. And I'm wondering, what is your sense? Does that reflect a true cross-section of the community? And if it doesn't, should we be thinking about making sure that the rest of the community understands that there will be cost increases associated with move to Tri-W? And also, too, in regards to the reuse of the reclaimed water, that we have fewer opportunities potentially at in the Churro Creek area, and the importance of coming up with this master reclamation plan and where the water is actually going to go and potential costs associated with piping that water. You can put water back into the creek, but we're still going to have lots of water, and if we're going to be talking about trying to pipe it back over tomorrow to the wells over there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I feel that I don't want people to come up short, I mean, in the end, and
mm-hmm.
say, I didn't know it was going to happen. And so somehow make sure that there is an understanding of what the costs are associated with that. And I think that the postcard helped a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure everyone's getting it.
Yeah, the only thing, you know, the only thing I can point to, I couldn't tell you in terms of the cross section who might have lived in a particular neighborhood or who didn't. Some included addresses, some didn't. The thing I would say is, you know, with the postcard, we did include my email address on there, encourage folks to contact us, tell them about this meeting and also about the council meeting. And so it's one of those things where you can, all we can do is invite comment. And try to educate as best we can, publish the information, be as transparent as we can with the numbers, and you know, I feel like the city's objective has been to try to be as out front as they could with that, but I couldn't speak to what the breakdown would be.
Janine, do you have any questions? Bill?
Yeah. Mike, did you give a financial synopsis in that presentation?
I have.
As much as you want to give?
Well, I have the summary report in the.
I realize that.
Right.
So you're not going to give any more input to Jenny's questions about where we stand on financing and bonding? You've contacted,
sure.
Where we are, what offers we have on the table, and whether there's money available through sources of which you negotiated with and have consummated deals?
I can give you an update on all that. So,
well, I think the subcommittee deserves that.
Okay.
And I think that you need to coordinate with them on a often basis. I think she's got a lot of very good input,
sure.
And she's keeping her fingers in the pie. And I'm a little bit surprised that there's no in place funding. Now, at least a plan. Where are we going with this? What kind of interest rate can we expect? What kind of grants can we expect, or can we expect any? It bothers me, the money end. The money end is a big unknown to me, anyway.
Okay. I'll answer what I can. So when the city put together the rate study, they had included money in there for phase one of the water reclamation facility. And the assumption would be it would be funded through state revolving loan funds. And state revolving fund is based, that interest rate is based on half of the latest sale of the state's general obligation bond. It usually floats in the 1-2% range, somewhere in that neighborhood. That was analyzed in the rate study in order to be conservative as the primary funding source. Now the grants that we're going to pursue, most of the
what interest rate is that?
It depends on what the latest general obligation bond will be when we go to construction, or half of that.
It's going to be around 2.5% or less.
Yeah,
it can go all the way down to zero.
Okay, so it can go from 2.5% down to zero,
mm-hmm.
And that was integrated into the rate study.
Yes, sir.
as our plan
for phase one of the water reclamation facility. And some of the notes that we had on,
let me just add, yeah, that our rate consultant was very conservative, and they estimated at the high end of the interest rate. So they looked at a 3% interest rate from SRF loans. They didn't want to rely on the bond market dropping, so our rates are conservative in that matter.
Okay, so we're basing it on 3%, and I noticed in your report that you didn't separate, you don't think that you can separate your revenue from project to O&M, operating and maintenance costs. Why can't you do that? It seems to me very important. Every project that I've been involved in, you separate your operating and maintenance costs from your capital costs, and you keep them very separate, and they're different funding, and they're different interest rates, and different control methodology, and different tax that you do. Why can't you separate at this point between the revenue that is already set aside and focused towards the project versus O&M costs that you have for your existing facility and for those, and if one or the other changes, then you're very aware of this. You've commingled these sources in here.
No, sir, we haven't. There are no operating and maintenance costs in this particular table. I think there might be some confusion because what we had discussed earlier.
It says here there is no separate revenue fund for the WRF. Right? Your report.
Okay, so let me explain what that means. What that's referring to is the $70,387,000 that's identified in there as revenue from the sewer rates. When residents or when customers pay their rates.
Wait. When are we going to get a budget? You've changed the budget for the project from $65 million to $70 million right here in this report without any input from us. And now you say that there's no funding for this WRF. It seems to me that you have to start putting some fences on this thing.
Okay, so let me explain. The purpose of that note is to just convey that when the city receives revenue, that revenue is not allocated toward that revenue comes in when people pay their sewer bill. The city has budgeted in the rate study for so many dollars of that to go towards the water reclamation facility. But there's no separate funding source that people are paying into outside of user rates, if that makes sense.
No,
so this project's fully funded by user rates right now.
You've got to separate these things. These are salt and pepper, north and south, east and west.
There's nothing to separate, Bill, if I'm understanding.
Yeah,
that's correct.
You have implemented a rate increase for the citizens of Morro Bay that includes the WRF capital costs.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that fund?
That is it. That the revenue from that is from sewer rates. And those rates fund this capital project. They fund O&M on existing plant. That's not included in that $70 million. That $70 million is only what has been budgeted in the rate study for water reclamation facility. So there's no commingling of that with other monies.
Okay. And we'll need to talk about this later.
And
sure.
I want to touch on something else you mentioned, that you're disappointed that there's no funding right now. It's much like buying a home. You can go to a bank and get pre-approved, but you're not going to get funding until you've selected a home, and we're looking at sites. And if you're going to construct a new home, there'll be some construction financing and then a long-term takeout loan. It's very similar here. As a government agency, we're pre-approved, and we know SRF is a very feasible, used up and down the state by almost every municipality. That's available to us. The term, the race, all that will happen at or after construction. So we're still a little bit away from the funding mechanism of this project.
When we start paying the new rates for our water and sewer bill, we were told at that time that it was going to finance operating and maintenance for the existing plant as well as the capital costs for the new project. I think that those two funds should be separated right at the get-go so that we know exactly where we are, how much money is in each, and what is dedicated to each. And this doesn't do that. And I don't see why you can't do that. It seemed like it's a very simple thing. When you design a rate process that takes into consideration a 3% cost of money for a project at $65 million, and you're charging your customers for that, why can't you separate that money as you receive it for the project?
Well, they have an O&M charge. I'm sure they know their O&M expenses to date, so they know how much they're paying on that and then how much they're contributing towards this project. We're just seeing what's being contributed towards the project here.
You better read your notes.
Okay. Do you have questions on the budget, Jim?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'd like to circle back.
Sure.
I didn't realize that you weren't going to give a separate presentation on the budget.
Mm-hmm.
But for the benefit of us, as well as the people here present, the public present, would you mind just spending a few minutes and going through these line items and
sure.
specifically explain the reasons for the variances, since we don't have any outreach developed on this yet?
Sure. So the... Let me run through. What I'll do is run through this.
Excuse me. And maybe if you could just put it up on the screen. Can you do that? So they can see the line items?
I don't have a slide of this. I could check with AGP and see if they can put the...
Okay.
If we could, you know, look up what's been posted on the website and walk through that.
Okay. And then I can just chirp if I have specific
sure.
questions
yeah.
about the line items.
Okay. Yeah, I might ask. Check and see if they can pull it up.
Okay.
I'll take care of it.
Can you do it? Okay, thanks.
It's going to be impossible to read there. So where is the O&M? It's not on here. The O&M is not on.
Would, you know, one question too, and I'm glad to go through anything you have questions on today, but if you'd like a more formal presentation of this, we could do that for the next meeting too. Would that help?
In terms of community outreach
yeah.
for the finance, since I know everybody's concerned about how much it's going to cost, I think they're probably interested in how much we've spent so far and
sure.
where there's been a variance, what happened.
Yeah.
Like you explained a few minutes ago with Black and Veatch.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, can I circle back even further?
Yes.
I have to ask the obvious.
Sure.
I know that you're going to be talking to Casa de Flores this week
mm-hmm.
and that you've spoken with Blue Heron, but I do have to ask, you have spoken to the other mobile home park that's located on the south side of the highway.
Yeah,
it's a fairly substantial established community there.
Sure, maybe while we're getting set up, Debbie, if you wouldn't mind, maybe you could give a kind of a brief overview of who all we've talked to. I attended the meeting with Blue Heron, so I gave an update on that. Also gave the update that we're going to be at Casa de Flores on Thursday.
Can you hear me? Okay. Can you hear me? All right. So, yes, we've reached out to everybody on the side of the freeway where they're looking at the facility, and that would include Casa de Flores. It includes property owners. There's a couple other property owners right there next to Casa de Flores, the property owner to the east, John Mino, and then the property owner to the north. We've also went to the other side of the freeway and talked to both mobile home parks. I've also sent out, went and hand-delivered some of the newsletters because some people got them, some people didn't, and so we wanted to make sure that they had them in their hands, so they passed those out as well. I also made sure they got postcards and I've offered to meet with everybody who's willing to meet. Some people are interested. Some people just want to talk on the phone, and then they want to distribute the information. So we're doing that. We've also reached out to the agencies that the council has asked us to reach out to, Fish and Wildlife, the golf course with the county, and some other ones. So we haven't sat down with every single group if they're not interested in sitting down with us, but we continue to reach out to them. Even if they don't want to meet formally, we continue to reach out.
Okay. So first I'll walk through. Let's talk about the format of the budget first. So the set of boxes over on the left side that start with the, or right in the center now, with quarter projected budget. So that's based on this quarter that that we're currently in. So this is, these actuals are based on the end of April, because that's it, that's when we got the information from the city through the end of April. We always want to give it a month or so that we can make sure that we've got all the actuals in the system correctly in case there's a little bit of lag. And this is kind of mid-quarter, if you will. So really the end of this quarter is going to be the end of this coming month. But we wanted to go ahead and put this together just to get comments from the financial subcommittee and from WRFCAC. So the projected budget, the line items that we have there on the left side are past siting studies. So that was the work that was done related to the siting studies in 2014. Also the some work that Cleith had done to look at hydrogeology as part of, and also includes that work with California Men's Colony, looking at that option. So it includes all those items. So you'll see that's blanked out for this quarter because there have been no expenses. So I'm going to do, for ease of explaining what's going on that table, is I'm going to stay on this left side of the table. So the current consultant contracts, if you look at page 2, that includes all of the currently authorized contracts that the city that are underway for the city. And we'll go to that page in a few minutes, but I want to walk you through the big picture stuff first, because I think this is there's a lot of detail here. The water rights legal support, that's specifically the city's water rights attorney. They've done no work this quarter so far. There are some things that have come up that you'll see will come up in there as of this month. The labor and benefits of projected budget was the city would spend, that's $12,500 this quarter for Rob's time, for other city staff time who allocate their time to water reclamation facility for their involvement. Other costs include laboratory and sampling. That's just what it sounds like. That's sampling specific to design criteria for the water reclamation facility. Software license and fees, that's paid annually to Procore. That's the software that we use to organize all the documents, pay requests from consultants, ultimately contractor pay requests, et cetera. Property acquisition, that $31,000 would be for an option if we needed to. Let's see. Let me check something here.
It was 25, right?
That was in the preceding quarter. So that was in the February-March time frame. So this quarter to date, April-May, there's been nothing spent on that. But we'd allocated in case we needed to spend additional money. And you'll see that on fiscal year to date, you'll see what went toward the option on Rigetti over on the right side of that.
Is there a point where you can't make any expenditures towards property acquisition until you concluded your environmental documents and your finance?
Should
the project be paying for those expenditures when we haven't done the CEQA and the finance plan for this project yet?
It should be, because it's toward development of the project. So when you pay for things like an option, you can pay for an option and negotiate an MOU with the property owner, but my understanding is we couldn't purchase the property, isn't that right, Rob, until we've gone through the CEQA process?
You can't make the final decision on the property until you've gone through the CEQA process. So you can keep your options open, so to speak, by securing that property, but you haven't made a final purchase agreement until after CEQA. Just want to add, the more we tie up a property, the more nervous our attorneys get, too, with compliance with CEQA. So they don't really want us purchasing property until we actually have completed CEQA.
Yeah, that might be a little better. Thanks. So program office equipment, so that would include, the city set up a program office. That includes the lease for the copier, for the various electronics, monitors, that sort of thing that are located there. That's the basis of those costs. And you can see our percent expended for this quarter is pretty low. It's about 22%. So moving over to the right, let's see, the next, the current consultant contracts, the budget's $2.3 million for the current consultant contracts. Those are all itemized on page 2. Year-to-date expenditures, about 45% of that. These are, in many cases, are multi-year contracts or aren't tied to a particular fiscal year. Because of the pause that we had looking at sites and some of the other delays, those have pushed out. Variance is how we calculate variance is basically the projected budget minus the year-to-date minus the expenditures, and that estimates the variance. So we'd looked at a projected budget this year, and I won't go back through all those line items, but all those line items we talked about, our projected budget this year was $2.5 million. There actually was more in the city budget, I believe, for this fiscal year than that. But this coming fiscal year, we were involved with city staff to develop the program budget. So what you'll see when we come back in August is you'll see our numbers better aligning with the city's internal budget for water reclamation facility than what we've got here right now, if that makes sense, because we got on their budget cycle this coming time around. So projected budget fiscal year to date was $2.5 million. Year-to-date expenditures as of end of April were about $1.1 million, and the variance was about $1.4 million. So total project. Now, keep in mind, we didn't put construction costs in here for Phase 1 or Phase 2. All we have in here are the costs that we anticipate so far for some of the things that we know. Until we get to facility, keep thumping on is until we get done with facility master plan and until we get done with master reclamation plan, we won't have a good refined budget on Phase 1 and Phase 2. We really have to go through those exercises. It's critical. But the total project amended budget, and you'll see that we had an amended budget, one item that I think is kind of interesting, the past siting studies. We had a line item there on past siting studies for $530,000, and the expenditures were $448,000, and so there was a variance of $86,000. So that money was never spent. That $86,000, those contracts are over. Nobody's going back to those. That's gone. So that's a positive variance. In terms of amended budget and then encumbrance, the encumbrance balance in this case is if you have a contract – and you've encumbered that money, and you subtract off expenditures, that's what that number is. So we had contracts for, $2.3 million currently. The encumbrance balance is, expenditures have been $1 million. $1.3 million's left in the encumbrance balance. That's the same as the variance on the consultant contracts. The one that differs is the... we had current consultant contracts. We'd assumed we'd be spending $200,000 of that. We had $200,000 earmarked for new work that might come up. And when you add that in, you see that our encumbrance balance and our variance for that total for that line item are different, because we assumed that that we have some work that's not encumbered yet, some consultant work that we need to do that has not, we don't have the contracts for it yet. Things like the hydrogeology that we've been working through. So that's really the basis of that. And I'm glad to respond to any specific questions you've got on this. The other thing I want to point to is the revenue side. So when you get to the revenue side, we still have the same split. Current quarter revenue, fiscal year to date, total project. What we have not tried to do was take every dollar that comes into the city through the user rights. And this was Mr. Woodson's question earlier, and this might be why there's some confusion there.
And concern.
And concern, yes, sir. And so his concern is when a dollar comes in from a user, you know, 20 cents of it goes here, 40 cents of it goes here, 40 cents of it goes here. And he wants to make sure his 20 cents is going to Wharf, right, and he knows it's there. So, I mean, Rob can, I'll give the layman's description of what happens. When money comes into the city, it comes into a fund and is transferred out of those funds to the different accounts. Isn't that right, Rob? Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Pretty close.
Pretty close. Okay.
So we have our general fund revenues, our water enterprise fund revenues, sewer enterprise fund revenues, and a couple other smaller enterprise fund revenues. So the sewer rates goes into the sewer enterprise fund. The sewer enterprise fund has multiple line item budgets in there. We have operating expenses, we have accumulation, and we have projects. This is one of the projects in there that gets expended out of that fund. We don't have a separate sub-fund in there where we don't have a piggy bank in this sewer enterprise fund to put WRF dollars into. It's all part of that general accumulation fund. And the council makes decisions every year with the budget on how much gets spent out of that towards projects. And that's how that money gets apportioned to projects, is through the budget process every year with council. And we've had a couple of budget workshops on our city budget, and this next council meeting we'll be looking to adopt our operating budget for the next year, which includes those costs.
I got a question. Rob, currently we have a joint powers agreement with Cayucas. How are those funds, when they pay us at the end of the month for basically their sewage that's being transferred over to the wastewater treatment plant, how is that being separated from the WRF, or how is that if it's in the sewer enterprise fund?
So their money comes into the sewer enterprise fund as revenue. The expenses have a different project number for the WRF project, so they don't get charged any of the cost for the WRF project. But we build them on a quarterly basis, not on a monthly basis. Their payment to us is just like any other payment. It goes into that fund and is based on what the bill that we send them is, and that's based on flow.
The other question is, I've brought this up several times. My concerns is that state parks, recently they've expanded their facility there at, near North Point on putting in, like, you know, upgrading their lift stations and stuff. How are they treated? Or, in other words, I get the sense that the citizens of Morro Bay are like subsidizing state parks in a lot of ways if they're just treated by like customers.
They are treated just like any commercial customer is. So their wastewater rates are based on their water flow. So and
is that water flow or sewer flow?
We don't have a sewer meter.
Why not?
Because that's not how our rates were established. They're based on water flow. All our rates are based on water flow, not on sewage flow.
But in state parks, are you just treating them like a homeowner?
No, we're treating them like a commercial customer.
Well,
a homeowner would have a flat rate. A commercial customer is based on flow.
Okay, so like a commercial customer like Culligan, for instance, with where we have let them dump the you know, that's part of our salinity issue. Several months ago, or about a year ago, we had a discussion about at a JPA with them not being allowed to dump their waste into the sewer flow because of the joint powers agreement. And it looks like to me that, again, we're subsidizing an industrial user on the backs of the citizens.
Rates are based on the strength of sewage. So we have five different rate classifications. Low strength sewage, domestic strength sewage, up to industrial strength sewage. The state parks is treated like hotel sewage, which is above domestic strength sewage. So, in my opinion, we're not subsidizing state parks.
Well, when you have a for instance, an RV has these highly chemicals that are involved in keeping, it's like a honey hut. That's kind of a high industrial use there. So is there any way that we as a city can put in some flow meters there and then base it on sewage flow like we do for Cayucas?
That would have to be direction from City Council to do that. So at this point, we have not been received that direction from City Council, and in my opinion, we're recovering our costs from state parks.
I just want to remind the subcommittee this is a good, or the whole committee, good discussion on rates, but we're here for a project update on siting and next steps with the City Council, and rates are, you know, if we're going to redo our rates, that's potentially years away.
I agree. Can I talk to you a little bit later about this note about there's no revenue fund for the WRF? I would like to talk a lot more about this because I don't think we're going to solve it here and we're taking all these people's time, but I still don't understand your very well-spoken presentation, sir.
Okay, any other questions on the presentation by staff?
Sure.
First of all, does the audience feel like...
I'm sorry, I need your microphone over there.
Jenny, we'll get to them at public comment.
Okay. I'd like to continue on, just complete what you've started. The only other question that I had was, I think it's on the next page. It's regarding the grant and loan funding that's tracking in SRF support.
Right.
Okay, so it looks like Kestrel was billed $33,823, right? And I'm out of curiosity, I'm just wondering, what is the funding amount that we receive for the planning grant?
So part of Kestrel's work is to track grant and loan sources, is to follow up with the state. They've completed the application for our planning loan for SRF. They completed our application for the SRF or for the recycled water grant. And they've been involved, I'd say, for about a year and a half or so, providing updates and facilitating that process. So it's been more than just so far the grant, the first grant that we've received is $75,000. But that's one grant of, you know, probably, I think, you know, they track many. You know, the last report I think they gave us was, you know, kind of an update regarding around a dozen of them. The challenge that we have on funding right now, or not the challenge, but the big milestone for funding is being closer to the end of the CEQA process and having your project well-defined. There's not much money for planning. It's highly competitive, and it's geared more towards disadvantaged communities and other problem or other challenges that this community doesn't have. But the construction grants are the best target for the city, but you've got to have a well-defined project to go compete for those. So so that's, you know, their job is funding strategy as a whole, and not just, you know, write the one in grant application. Mm-hmm. I would like to do real quickly to just talk about the revenue sources. You noted the recycled water grant. I don't want to present this as these are the only grants we're going to get. I just want to present them as this one we've got in hand. We know we've got it. Here it is. Also, supplemental environmental project money from California Men's Colony. $87,000 of that came in to fund, and I think that funded the majority of that Corollo study that they did to look at the CMC evaluation. So I wanted to point that out.
100% of the Corollo study.
Okay, thank you.
Our chair, Mr. Diodati, has other business to attend to, so I'm going to take over. So please bear with me as I put my hat on here or take it off. Ginny, are you finished? So, any other questions from us?
Yeah, I have a question regarding kind of back on that salinity issue. The salinity control plan. Is that going to, you're going to be addressing with Mission County and our Mission, the Mission Linen, and also Culligan, which do you know if Culligan, because one of the things that Culligan has is that South County, they were able to dump, when they had the outfall there in the waiver, they were able to dump all their brine through the outfall there. So does Culligan currently have countywide, is they dumping all the brine waste through the sewer lines here now, or are they just using it out of their current facility?
As far as I know, it's just that existing regeneration facility at that site. I don't know, I don't know how large their service area is or whether that's a different Culligan. That's, Culligan has a number of different offices or location. I'm not sure if that's a different one in South County. I couldn't speak to that.
And then can you explain why they don't need an NPDES permit to do that?
To discharge the collection system?
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're covered under the city's NPDES, the city discharge. So they're like any other customer that's tied into the collection system.
So they're basically able to discharge into the sewer because we have a 301H waiver and through the NPDES permit through the regional board at this time?
Well, they're able to discharge because they're a customer of the city sewer system.
Okay.
And so they have to comply with whatever sewer ordinance requirements that there are for the city.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have to have a separate discharge permit.
Okay.
Now, one of the things we'll talk about in future meetings is what the options might be if they were able to discharge through the outfall.
Okay.
And that might then there are different permitting approaches there than what we're talking about.
Okay. And then earlier, a few meetings ago, I mentioned I had talked to some of the people that have the honey huts in that area, and we were talking about the potential of having industrial waste and having a treatment facility that addresses that. So because currently those industrial waste has to be trucked to Soledad or out of the county. There's no place in the whole county to do that, and we had talked about that. Are you still pursuing to be able to do that with this current facility to maybe have a potential income for that?
It's something that we're going to look at. One of the biggest challenges or a couple of challenges with it are whether you can get enough revenue off of it to offset the impacts it has on your treatment process, the potential risk if something's in like one of those RV tanks that's a biocide, and the ability of staff to monitor that. And then there are also the traffic impacts if you have RVs or whatever regularly going to a location. So not that it can't be done, but it's something that the facility master plan team is considering.
Well, this is one of the reasons why I think that we have an opportunity with state parks, because they have dump stations and we don't know what we're getting, and that's why it's a risk for the citizens, and I feel that it's a subsidy that is not being compensated for by the citizens.
Okay, Richard. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for your patience out there. We appreciate it. You heard everything that went on and the discussions that went on. And this is public comment period now. You're invited to come up. Where's Kay? Kay's here somewhere. She's taking notes. Kay, do you have a 3-minute timer?
I do not.
I think so.
Yeah, we need a little beeper on 3 minutes. We're going to give 3 minutes for every speaker. Please come up to the podium. Is there a piece of paper up there somewhere?
Yes, there is.
Okay, please sign in because we put you in the minutes, and Kay needs your spelling of your name. You have 3 minutes. And public comment starts now.
Is mic on?
Yeah, it's on.
Hey.
You're hot.
First, thank you so much for all the work that you've done. I really appreciate that. I think we've come together and coalesced on the Tri-W side. I think there's a lot of advantages for that have been pointed out. I strongly believe that when we look at all the costs, you need less aesthetic treatment. There's a substantial difference, which is not included in the difference you're looking at. The site prep costs will be substantially lower in a level site, particularly if you add other facilities. That's not in the differential. I could go on and on, but quite frankly, there's a lot of advantages cost-wise to bring the numbers very close together. Also, when you look at the original matrix of picking a site, cost was 30%, not 100% in doing this. So when you look at, and if you go back and look at how those were scored, I think you're going to find there's more advantages to the Tri-W site again. So I think there's a lot of reasons. It's not on 41. You're not looking at it coming into the city. So thank you. And last thing, the thing I heard, which was great, you've got an MOU underway. I think that's absolutely fantastic that you started the process. I understand that's something that maybe wasn't done on one of the other sites. And that since you've started that, next Wednesday, let's go for it. Tri-W. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. You are on camera, and if you support comments, the way to do it is to raise your hand. That's very effective. Thank you.
My name is Mark Hansen. I live in Morro Bay, out in the Strand, and I don't know who represents Cayucas in terms of the sewer. If they have a CSD that reports to the county, or.
They do. They have a separate agency, but they're a joint owner in the Morro Bay Cayucas wastewater treatment facility.
And I don't know who represents the Morro Bay, if it's the planning department or planning commission?
Let me clarify, that's the existing wastewater plant, so they're not involved on this water reclamation facility project. They're pursuing their own
reclamation
system.
But you brought up, one of you, I couldn't see you because of the podium, about the fact that deal, we're still hoping we can make a deal with Cayucas, or some people are, and that's because splitting the cost between two cities would be much more affordable. I'm sure the people of Cayucas can't afford their own sewer plant any more than Morro Bay can. I'm on a fixed income. I'm retired. Most of the people in this room look like they're retired on fixed incomes. So I still think we should lock all of our people and the Cayucas people into a room and send in food and water, and they don't leave until they make a deal. So I'm tired of them pointing fingers at who ruffled whose feathers first. They should make a deal, and because that's in our best interest, and we make you, everybody works for us. They don't work for themselves. So that's number one. Number two, this next vote, 6-7 days from now, is happening too fast then, because if we can still make a deal with Cayucas, then they're going to get their feathers ruffled if they have no input on where the site is. So that should be held off until we can make a deal with Cayucas. And I'm not sure I understood why the Chevron Toro Creek location is off the table, if it had to do with recharge or it's in the wrong water table or whatever. But if Cayucas was part of it, then that would be between our two towns, and they might look at that as a preferable place than the Tri-W site. And then finally, I prefer if it remained where it is. You know, it's already there and just updated, but apparently there's problems now because the laws have changed and there's a Clean Water Act and it's too close to the ocean and all this stuff. But if that's the case and it can't be kept where it is, can I assume that property near the ocean, once it's decommissioned and cleaned up, which is very valuable if it's near the water, is going to be sold off to developers, whether it be home developers or business, and that profit will come back to offset the cost of the sewer. Since if that property belongs to Morro Bay now, and it's not going to be used, shouldn't it be sold off to developers, and because we're trading sites? And that seems to make sense to me.
It's jointly owned.
Okay.
With Cayucas.
Okay, so we would both benefit either way if we go in together or separately, but I'm assuming that property is not just going to sit there and rot away because it's too expensive to clean up. But I'm hoping Cayucas and Morro Bay can still make a deal, because it's cheaper to have two cities put in on the same sewer than splitting the cost. It just makes no sense at all. And people on fixed income want the most affordable, not necessarily the cheapest, crummiest sewer, but the most affordable sewer plant we can get. So.
Thank you. I didn't hear you. What we will do is listen to you take notes, and I'll try to take notes, and we will try to get these points addressed by staff after public comment. Not as we go. We would never get through here. Yes, hi.
Hello. I'm Sandy Candler from Morro Bay. And unfortunately, when Jamie Irons insisted that the Coastal Commission not allow us to build on our current location, the people were very upset at the Coastal Commission because he kept asking for a denial. So they said, well, don't plan on building anything on that property, since that's where tsunamis apparently come, because that's why you want to move the sewer plant, because of tsunamis. So they said absolutely nothing will be built on that property, maybe a park. So just so you know what happened. That's on record, by the way. Anyway, I want to thank all of you who voted to recommend the Tri-City property for the sewer location and to take the Brigetti property off the table. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You all listened, so that's so nice. Unfortunately, the City Council did not, and they still are in love with the Brigetti property and don't want to take it off. So I don't know what we're going to do about that, but I think that the Tri-City property is super great, and I just don't understand. I know that it's in the city and the county, and you've chosen the county, and I'd like to know why, because the city property on the Tri property is lower, which, I don't know, made more sense. But that's a question I have. And then I also wanted to know about the $25,000 non-refundable money that was given to, that the city council gave to the Rigetti site. What happens to that money? I thought it was non-refundable. That's what it said in the somewhere. But if it's not non-refundable, that's fine. If we get it back, great. And at the city council, last city council meeting, people were asking about what the rates were going to be and the cost, and everyone was, you know, all a flutter about that. And I kept hearing, well, we have to do an EIR first. And now I'm seeing on the list that this nice gentleman had, that the EIR won't be done until next year. So do we have to wait that long to find out about costs, or is that because the EIR comes before CEQA, I think, approval. So I'd like to know about that. And can the citizens of at the north end of Morro Bay become customers of Cayucas if we never get this off the ground, because they're going to have their sewer finished before we ever decide where we're going to build it. So that's fine. Those are my comments.
Thank you.
My name is John Mino. I'm a neighbor to the Tri-W site, contrary to the statement in the mailer from the city that there were no neighbors. Access to the project will require an easement through my property. The proposed sites indicated on the map will be very close, perhaps within a few hundred feet of my property boundary. This will no doubt decrease the value of my land as well as have other undesirable effects. I run a cattle business. In the early 1990s, in cooperation with a local resource conservation district and the Soil Conservation Service, we implemented an extensive water distribution and fencing system to facilitate changing the way we had historically grazed our cattle, with the main focus to decrease sedimentation into Morro Bay. We have operated a managed grazing program since this time. This system of livestock management has many environmental rewards, but also has challenges. Proximity of human activity, especially at certain times of the year, can be especially difficult. The location of the sewer plant at the Tri-W locations, although certainly not desired, is not my greatest concern. The unnecessary addition of a park and maintenance yard is. If one of the Tri-W sites is chosen, please do not include these other uses. Keep the use limited to what is necessary for the operation and maintenance of the plant and the footprint as small as possible. Expanding the size and uses not only would be more impactful to us, but could increase mitigation costs for the city to an already costly location. The city has a maintenance yard near the existing plant. When the old plant is removed, there will be even more room for the yard and a park, if that is what is desired. These are urban uses and should be kept there, not put in the coastal agricultural zone, decreasing available agricultural land and adding conflicts to those of us who work the land. My family has owned the land next to Tri-W site for 100 years. I have lived on and managed the property my entire adult life. We put the property in a conservation easement a number of years ago with the Bay Foundation as an easement holder. By doing this, we have protected the views from Highway 1, limited development, and environmentally protected the land in perpetuity. Please don't complicate our ability to continue managing our ag operation by the addition of activities unrelated to the operation and maintenance of the plant itself. By the way, I had suggested another possibly less expensive location on the Tri-W property, and I just wanted to know if any consideration had been given to that.
You want to give that information to staff later, that would be... We have that information?
Yes. Okay. They have the site.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Next. I think you got beat, sir.
Yeah, sure.
My name is Jackie Pipkin, and I live on the south side of Morro Bay. My understanding is that, so you want to buy 15 acres of the Tri-W property, right? Like
somewhere in that.
Somewhere. Okay. What are the plans, or you have any knowledge of what's going to happen with the rest of the acreage? And then there's talk about solar panels. Would they be along Highway 1? Would that be what I would be looking at? I'm just a couple questions there about the siting of where solar panels would go. I don't know if they belong to the gentleman's, those are his cows, but I really don't want to give up watching the cows for solar panels. So that would be my concern. You know, what's going to happen with the property, whether it's the city property, the county property, and the solar panels?
I guarantee you this isn't the end of this process. This is the beginning of the process, and there's going to be many, many more opportunities for discussion on what's going to happen or what could happen there.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Did you sign in?
My name is Rob Thorson. I live out on Little Morro Creek Road in Morro Bay. I've got property adjacent to the Tri-W property. I'm also neighbors with John Mino. I was unaware of the project until John gave me a call about 3 weeks ago. I mean, I knew about the project, the whole water project, but about the current South Bay location. You know, nobody wants a sewer plant in their backyard, and what's interesting, we are all running beef cattle out there, agricultural use, but it is also our backyard all at the same time. Accessibility to that property by folks that would be going in and out of there is of, you know, significant concern, particularly when we look at the alternative uses as a park, as John said. I heard several people say, where is that other site that John mentioned? And we were talking about that site that's at the top of Morro Bay Boulevard. It used to be a Domagini Dairy right there. There is a potential site possibly there that it would be tucked back in where there really literally, I believe, are no neighbors. I could be mistaken, but to my best of my knowledge, there's not. You know, in terms of one of the objectives up there, that was on the board here was keeping in compatibility with existing land uses. As an agricultural land use, I think that converting ag land to an industrial use, you know, certainly is not going down that path that the objective was indicating. So those are my concerns, you know, and certainly the increased accessibility by public would be of a major concern. You know, as John said, if we had to tolerate a water plant, you know, that's one thing. I do notice there's two red dots of potential location on the South Bay site, one that's closer up into the corner of the field, one's about halfway between the corner of the field and the highway. You know, if it had to go in that location, we'd be certainly more interested in it coming more towards the highway than right up against our fences. But, you know, certainly my biggest assertion would be that I think it would be, you know, of interest to look at that that site, that alternative site that we were referring to. So that's all I've got for you.
Thank you.
And I had a question. Has that site been looked at by chance that I'm referring to?
If you're referring to the city site,
which no, that's further towards Radcliffe area. That I, to my knowledge, I'm talking about right at the top of Morro Bay Boulevard.
I defer to you, Mike.
Yeah, I can speak to that. So a couple of the issues. John Riggenbach is not here today. I actually went out and walked over that location. In addition to the ones that we're currently looking at on the east side. A couple advantages to the ones on the east side that are in the county property are distance from residents. It's farther away from residents, from most residents. And I get that there are people that live on the ag land as well. Farther from the neighborhoods, the access is easier than that access to that city parcel. Part of the city parcel is highly visible from Highway 1. The backside of that knoll, I think that you're talking about, kind of that flat area, is and if it's the area that I'm thinking of, and I'll verify this, is quite a bit higher than Tri-W, so the pumping costs are going to be more, and also the access is going to be more expensive. So that's the reason we were looking at that county parcel.
We should probably just double check to make sure we're talking the same thing. But there's an ingress egress easement, I think, in existence there.
Okay.
And I do believe that as you go back up into that access, that it's kind of tucked away in there, so visibility would be nil. Seems to me that infrastructure would be less cost in terms of piping, et cetera, as well, because it's putting you closer up towards, you know, where things are happening, where the, you know, interest parties that are wanting the water and the wastewater, it would just be a closer proximity as well.
Well,
anyway,
I'll look at it. I know you met with you had conversed with Debbie some today about
right.
it, so I'll get a chance to look at that with her, and we'll get back to you on that.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks for your input.
Appreciate it.
Nancy Best. I've also wondered why the sites right at the eastern edge of Tri-W have been selected. And when we have 30 acres that are, I think it's 30 acres, right in the middle of 150 acres that the city owns, and it's isolated from any residences, not the trailer parks, not the houses on the Hillcrest area. There's access. There could be access in several different ways, and it has already been zoned industrial in the past, and also the two areas that you are looking at, one is in the county. Are there any additional problems that building it on county property when it could be built on city property without no additional problems? Is there some sort of a long-range plan that somebody has for the rest of that Tri-Double property that we know nothing about, and why has not that area been considered from the get-go?
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Chairman Woodson and the members of WERFCAC. Tina Metzger, Morro Bay. I'm here today to let you know that we greatly appreciate that you recommended to the council to remove the Rigetti site from the list. Unfortunately, the council did not agree. And we're, all of us, are all too aware that once the EIR process begins, the preferred site can always drop out and be discarded, and the Rigetti site can also be now the preferred site. And we feel that there are innumerable reasons to remove the Rigetti site from the city's list. In addition to all the issues that have been brought up before by all the people that have shown up to meetings and have written emails and have written letters to the city council and have spoken during public comment period, our concerns and our peace of mind continue to be ruined. And I think it's extremely important to undeniably tell you that the Rigetti site is not a viable site. And I think most of you agree with that, but there are still some holdouts. And I'd like to bring up just two issues today. One of them is, according to Rickenbach's study to WRFCAC on May 3rd, he writes on page 29 that there, on the Rigetti site, there's naturally occurring asbestos that requires special handling requirements. And that's the presence of serpentinite bedrock, which was also mentioned in the DUDAC report on the Rigetti site from November 2011. So if you go to the California Environmental Protection Agency Air Resources Board website, they talk about naturally occurring asbestos. And not only that, they have a final regulation order concerning asbestos during construction and grading. And they have incredibly strong standards that you have to abide by, that there's no reason or no way that
try to wrap it up.
They can be abided by. So there's just no way that you can have construction and grading on that site. The other issue is diesel trucks, in particular, emit particulate matter, air pollutants that have the potential to cause asthma, cancer, premature death, and other health effects. I'll put all this in a letter to the council and copy it to you.
And
with my sources.
And package it for the council.
Sure,
And blow their doors off.
Yeah, and then I have issues on California land use and planning law concerning alternatives and why Rigetti is not an alternative. So thank you very much.
I should ask Rob, is the city council on the agenda this 1 week from now? Are they planning on making a site selection for the WRF?
Yes, they're going to express their preferred site is what our recommendation
for us to focus our resources and
that is correct.
The facilities plan and the master plan and all the
correct.
Other. Correct. Okay, so you all heard it. It's going to happen. Hi.
Hi, my name's Donna Burke, and I'm from Morro Bay. And I also would like to thank all of you for all of the work that you have put in. I was very pleased with the last meeting. And I am in favor of Tri-W. I think that it's really great that there's even more than one option on the Tri-W site should one not work out, you know, due to this or that. I would like to comment with regards to the New Times and the Bay News. I think it's imperative that perhaps, Mike, if you could contact them so that they could get the correction out right away, since, you know, we're just discussing within a week, the city council will be making their decision. So I think it would be very important to get that correction out in a timely manner.
In a timely manner.
Yes, exactly, before a week. thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Cal Hewler. I live in the San Nez Valley, but I own property here in Morro Bay. And one piece of property is on Nutmeg. I want to thank you for the opportunity to address this committee. I think it's very beneficial. I am for the Tri-W property, and I would just hope that you would address the concerns of the ranchers and meeting their needs and sensitivities, since farmers and ranchers form the backbone of our great nation. I have three reasons why I'm against the Rigetti property. First of all, you're imposing a heavy industrial plant or facility in sight of a long-established residential neighborhood. This is just wrong-headed, and that goes for any neighborhood, be it the Colina neighborhood, the Madonna, or the Rigetti. It's just wrong-headed to take established neighborhoods and then cite heavy industry right up against it. Number two, the Rigetti site robs the residents of that neighborhood of peace of mind. You put them under a lot of emotional stress in making the primary properties of interest Rigetti and Colina, which you did. The aesthetic appeals of having a sewage plant in your backyard are really not acceptable if you think about it. And you do have a very negative impact on property values, and that's already taken place, because if one wants to sell their property in that area, be it Rigetti, Colina, Madonna, for sure you have to list that as a impact that you have to divulge to any potential buyer. And I would think that would scare away many a potential buyer. And that's already happened. And finally, the third thing is you've diminished the trust that people have in the local government. Because, you know, if one thought about it, those properties maybe shouldn't have been under serious consideration. I think the Tri-W, the Chevron properties, should have been of number one priority. Yes, they're somewhat more expensive, but the cheapest price isn't always the best price. And that's something we need to keep in mind. Again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to address you. And yes, Tri-W, or the Chevron possibility, is far better than the other alternatives. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill, could I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Yeah.
I
wanted to get clear with Rob. Today we are not voting on any preference of any sites to recommend to City Council. Is that correct?
That is correct. There's no action
right.
We've already made our recommendation
to take Rigetti. I wanted to throw that out there to the crowd, because it's not to sell to us at this point in time. It's actually to sell to City Council, because we're not making a motion today on which site will be move forward or not being.
No, we took that action last meeting.
No, that's what I'm trying to.
And so what we're doing is we're getting input for staff so that they can better prepare for their City Council meeting, in essence. That's what, with our input and with the public input.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. Is the mic on? Can you hear me?
You're on.
Okay. First priority, we need a site, because we can't build anything unless you have a site. It's like if you have plans for a house and you got all your plans finalized, expenses and everything else, but if you don't have a lot, your plans are worthless. Anyway, I recommend the chair and these volunteers that have been working very hard on this project, that we recommend the South Bay Boulevard site, because I think if we don't do something pretty soon, we're up against the clock. If we take more time on this, cost is going to escalate. So I recommend that we take in consideration, if everything works out, the South Bay Boulevard site. Secondly, Cayucas, we've been working with them for quite a few years and can never get together. First of all, it's unequal partner. It's an unequal partnership, and you know how that's. It's hard to work even with a 50-50 partnership. So anyway, because we have different goals than they do, I know they want to do their own thing, and I think we just shouldn't take any more time on this and just consider the site and move on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What was that?
Oh. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? It's like blah, 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 more of the same, more of the same, more of the same. It's, you know, I think there's a majority of us here are the same thing, and you guys have already made a recommendation to the council.
Yes, we have.
And I just think that I agree with Donna. I think something needs to be done about that article in the New Times, because you have a lot of people thinking their rates are going to be affected by this, and that's going to be a huge, you know, that's a deterrent right there, that people are thinking, oh, my God, it's going to cost that much money. So we need to do something about that. We need to do something about that right away. And then, I mean, I own properties in both areas, and it just doesn't make sense to be building that property in a residential area, Rigetti. And I'm all for the Tri-W. I have a property right across the street from that, so, and it's commercial property. But just want to put my 2 cents. I know you guys have already made your recommendation, and I appreciate all the work you guys do, because I know this has been a huge monumental task here.
Well, I think this helps you as well as us formulate what strategies are going to take place next week, and I think it's very important to be involved in next week. And this is kind of a startup for what's going to occur at the meeting. So it's not blah, blah, blah to us here at all.
But I'm just saying, you're hearing the same,
especially,
you know,
to staff,
same
because
committee or same
I think they're listening to you.
Citizens are saying the same thing here.
Yeah.
And but, I mean, I think that needs to be factored in. You know, we're looking at cost of this plant, and we're looking at what it's going to cost. And I think the legal battle, if you put it, or if they put it at the Rigetti property, is going to way outweigh what it's going to cost to put it at Tri-W. And I think they need to really consider what kind of a legal battle they're going to be up against. You know, and I think that needs to be brought to their attention, that there's a lot of concerned citizens that aren't going to have it at Rigetti. And there's going to be a long uphill battle about that. So thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're on.
Gentlemen, Mr. Bill Wilson, Woodson. My name is Brian Levy. I'm an architect out of Sacramento.
Hi.
I'm in here because Mr. Lee Klein couldn't be here today. He has asked me to come in and give you a presentation of a small sort, because of not only concern for the Nutmeg area and also the Rigetti property, which we're not going to talk about because I'm not going to go there. But what I am going to do is give you a binder here with a study that we've done and some solutions that we've come up with. Now, my job as an architect is not to look at the tree, but to look at the area in which the tree is planted. And that means it doesn't have to be necessarily in one orchard or another. It means that we're looking at the whole community of trees. This report will outline that. So I will leave it that way and allow you to review this and go back to Mr. Klein or myself, get clarification, and go from there.
Thank you. We will take it as submitted. We just give it right here to Mike or Rob, and it will be accepted formally. And you should state whether you expect it back.
No, this is your copy.
This is our copy. Okay.
If you need additional copies, Mr. Klein has them.
Okay. Is there contact information in there? Okay, good.
What's your name again, sir?
It's Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, H, Liebig, L-I-E, B as in boy, I-G. And for clarification, Liebig is in the dictionary under Justice von Buren. Thank you.
All right.
Been to Italy, Africa, all over the world. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Karen.
Hello,
I'm
Karen.
On Nutmeg. And I too wanted to say thank you so much for
you know, all of your questions and you listening to us. And Jenny, how she asks about all the line item budget and stuff like that, because to me it seems like there's things on there that, you know, in a 15-minute presentation, I didn't understand all of where the money goes and how much has been spent. I think I understood $200,000 for consulting and $31,000 for property acquisition and $25,000 for lab samples and, you know, where we haven't even really honed in on a site yet. So I appreciate that. And Richard talking about Salination and about the state parks, it sounds like, you know, there's money to be made in that they're not doing it the way that maybe they could or should be. And I just moved here about 2.5 years ago, and I absolutely never thought that I would be involved in anything like this. And I go places and people say, oh, I know you. And I don't really know anybody here. And so when they say that, I think, oh, God, where do you know me from? And, you know, they know me from speaking at these meetings. And I like that a lot. You know, it shows that I care about where I live and that I just didn't move into my parents' house and take any of that for granted. I moved here from the Valley, and I got Valley fever. So when I hear Tina and Donna talk about asbestos that's right behind where we live, that concerns me a lot because I do have, you know, a lung impairment. And you never get rid of Valley fever, and I moved 2.5 hours away from that. You know, the numbers may drop in the amount of people that show up when, you know, locations are moved and people don't know and people think that everything's all dialed in and we don't have to worry about Rigetti anymore. But the people that are concerned about this, we're not going anywhere. You know, we will be here if an ERI is or an EIR is done on TRW and they put Rigetti back on, we will be here. I'm not going anywhere. And some of these people, you know, I'm sure we have other things to do, but it sure doesn't look like it at every, you know, advisory meeting and every city council meeting. And from the very beginning, I'm not 600 feet from the site, but I care about the people on Ponderosa that are. And whereas even if we go to TRW, and I'm not sure why the name is different, I care about those people and their cattle. You know, I care about my neighbors. I care what we do. And I'm a vegetarian, so I really want them to just leave those cows, you know, to just graze so she can look at them. But I'm not in control of that. So I really appreciate your time, and I really feel like some of you care about us because it could be your turn, and we'll care about you.
Hey, Bill. Do you want to get a show of hands how many more people? We're going to have to vote to extend it if there's quite a few people.
We'll see. We will. We'll get it.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Jim Pauley. And I want to thank the advisory group here. When you made the recommendation for the Tri-W. I think it's all a question of quality of life. I mean, we've talked about the financial part and so on, but I think those numbers can go either way so easily that they're close enough that the question is, what's going to benefit Morro Bay more? And I think, sure, we in North Morro Bay there that have our backs right now up to the Rigetti property. Well, we're pretty excited about this thing. But the reality is that everybody in Morro Bay is going to be thankful once it's established at the Tri-W, because it's going to be out of sight, out of mind, and we're not going to have all that confusion and problem on 41. And the quality of life will just be so much better. So, you've heard all different angles, and I just want you to know that I'm another person from up on Nutmeg that appreciates your voting for the Tri-W, and also the city manager was for it as well, which I think is great. I do not understand why the city council doesn't step out and support it at the Tri-W. And did I hear tonight up here that they've already made a decision to vote for something else?
No. That decision is ahead of us. It's going to be done 6 days from today, and it will be done at the next city council meeting, and that is where it will be determined. That is the schedule, anyway. Whether they do or not, that's their decision, of course. But it will be done 1 week from now.
Well, thank you for that clarification. And again, thank you for your support.
Going, gone. So that takes care of public comment on this subject.
I do have a question.
And I'll bring it back to the committee for going around. I'll start with Dale. You got any questions or comments on what went on in the public comment? Or
no.
No? Steve?
Not on the public
Paul.
Comment.
Yeah, Ms. Metzler brought up the fact that the Rigetti, even though it's still in play, and I think the argument that John Rickenbach made was that it may still need to be considered from the CEQA point of view. But what if it, in that review, rises to the top of the list as far as environmentally superior location? What does that do? Does that force that preference back, like she brought up? That's my concern. John isn't here. He'd be the one to answer that one. So, I mean, is that possible? If it's left on the table, it could rise to the top again?
Let's say if the analysis did yield that any site was the environmentally preferred site, council doesn't have to go with that site. And I'm not sure what the legal process is for that.
Oh, they would have to make some sort of statement of overriding consideration, I believe, findings of why they didn't select that one. It could be economics. It could be community benefit, I think. The thing with the Tri-W sites, we haven't seen any fatal flaws that would cause us to think that, from an environmental standpoint, I think they're all pretty close to each other. The sites we've been looking at, some of them have more difficulties than others environmentally, with either archaeological resources, Esha. This may have the least of those from what we've initially seen.
Okay, Val.
The city council is going to be meeting on June 14th and to select a site.
They're
going to be meeting June 14th to select.
Potentially be selecting a site. And this afternoon, we've heard from Mr. Mano, John Morrison, I believe is your name, the other rancher up there, and Nancy Bast. And it appears that they're proposing that we look at certain portions of the city property. And it seems that they have some insight in regards to portions of the city property that would work out well, that is free for view from the highway and this and that next thing, and that there is access. And so I'm wondering, do we still have that opportunity to maybe go out with Mr. Morrison or one of the representatives from that area and go take a closer look at the city parcel and see what it is that they're exactly talking about, rather than, because if we don't do that, then they're talking about the Del Maggini, they're talking about a couple of other places, they're saying there is access, that we're not looking in the right spot. But then to just march on to the 14th and not look at those places, I think that we're doing a disservice to the rest of the community and to the people who are affected by Tri-W.
Time out. We need a motion to go beyond 5 o'clock.
Second.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, there you
second.
Go.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, go ahead.
Richard.
Richard, you say no?
No.
He said second. He seconded.
Yeah. Okay. Are you still going?
Yes. Well, no. I'm just saying, is are we going to have that opportunity to once and for all find out what is this area that people are talking about, rather than just go in there and say, okay, we have the eastern, we're stuck on the eastern, and we do need to take into consideration, well, what, you know, we've got our eyesight on the eastern, but is there some other place that's tucked in there that would work just as well? And just go with somebody who knows the land and go take a look.
Well, we will take a look at that.
Yeah, rather than just go out there and wander around.
Well, and the reason I'm a little hesitant is because we analyzed quite a bit of that before, and I know that John Rickenbach had made a visit out with the property owner for some of the areas. I want to confirm where that is, and I'll work with Mr. Mino and Mr. Thorson. I'll go out and take a look at it and be glad to bring that back with a report to council.
What you could, Val, it looks like I saw a lot of head bobs up here at the table. And if you want it done, you could make a motion, and if it's seconded, and vote on it, that the staff will review in detail the city property and Tri-W city property and make an analysis on that and to present to the city council their findings for the next meeting. You could do that, and then that assures that it would be done.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. We did not agendize this for any action.
Yeah, they didn't agendize this bill. That's why
you could bring it up as a
just receive updates and move on. There is no motion.
No, there's no motion. But
well, you just said to let her make it.
Just a minute.
I think that Mike heard my concern.
Staff can investigate it.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. We can look into that.
And I think
we don't need a motion.
Okay. No. Well, I want to reinforce it. I think it's a very good idea. I think that there is a lot of information on the city site that is presented tonight, and I think that this needs to get to the city council, and it has to be put into a presentation that maybe compares the city site to the county. And so that you can see what the advantages and disadvantages. One advantage that I see right off the top is being in the city, you have control over your destiny, where in the county you have a lot of agencies in the county that may impact your access. And it turns out that I didn't know that you needed right-of-way permission to get to the properties involved, where I don't think you do on the city. So there are advantages and maybe disadvantages that we don't know, but I think that the city council deserves that in more detail. Does that cover it?
I would like to follow up also with the city, the water rights issue when we have reclaimed water being on the city property as opposed to having LAFCO and county involved on that. I think that that's substantial.
Shouldn't affect, I will respond to that. It won't affect the water rights issue, whether we're on the county parcel or the city parcel. One thing I do want to investigate is I know there are some limitations on at least part of that city parcel, depending with that limit what the city can do. So there are some background information I need to look into. What I'd like to do is bring that to council.
Cost benefits.
Well, I'm not saying. We'll bring the findings to council.
Does that take care of you, Val?
Yeah, I just feel that too many things were brought up today by the people from that area.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think we all agree.
Okay.
Jenny?
Yeah. Oh, I have nothing more to add.
Richard?
To me, it's real simple. It's a trust issue. And the fact that the Rigetti property is still even considered, we have a necessity for the community to have a little trust building here. And as consultants and as even city staff, I could ask you do you live in Morro Bay, Rob? Or do you live in Morro Bay? But these people all live in Morro Bay. And, you know, that was asked by a concerned citizen. And I think that the citizens deserve to be able to have, trust their elected officials. Recently at the Morro Bay Planning Commission, we reviewed a project on 1840 Main Street, and one of the things that came up was the traffic issue. And there's talk about a roundabout, and then there was a traffic study that was mentioned that PG&E did, that they had trucks involved. And, you know, one of the things was, well, we're not talking about trucks. Well, if the Rigetti site is on the table, we are talking about a lot of trucks. And the other thing was, I keep bringing this up, but there's a, you know, it's there was sewage found in our dilapidated infrastructure, the digging that's going to go around there. We don't know if that sewage has migrated. So when we have those that traffic issue gets brought up, and they start digging around that 41 and 1 interchange, we don't know if there's sewage in the dirt and has to have hazardous material issues. These are kind of like side issues that are linked to that Rigetti property. And that's why I strongly urge this, that the council, not even, you know, Rigetti should not be on the table at all. And as far as the Tri-W site, several of the people that brought up that this was news to me with regards to easements and the Tri-W city property, I think that it would be a disservice to the community if we didn't, you know, the staff didn't really take a closer look and, you know, the concerns by the ranchers.
Okay, and I just want to conclude that there were, there's some waves out there. Good. I want to conclude that what wasn't mentioned other than we heard was the concern about these articles in these local mm-hmm. papers and their inclusion in O&M into the total project cost. I think it would behoove you, Mike, and the project management to put some definitions on this $70 million estimate that we just saw in our... what does that include? Is it site specific? Does it include pump stations? Does it include pipes to and from? And you had to do something to come up to that $70 million. And I think that if you would, I know that you showed us goals, right? You showed us goals of what you wanted. But to get to the $70 million, what's in it? Do you have of water that is going to be recycled in that, for instance? Is there, how far in the, is that phase one? Or
phase one only.
So I think that you need to put fences around that $70 million. And that's my suggestion, other than from what I heard out here. So okay. I think this was very good. I appreciate everyone's patience with us up here. I know it's late. And I think we all up here appreciate your input. And so good luck next week. So I think that takes care of it, unless you have some comments. So you have a last comment?
Just last comment. Okay. How about now?
Yeah.
Right. So when I had mentioned earlier about maybe just getting a flyer out to everybody in the community, something really, really simple. You've already done the work. It's and I'll give it to you. It's D1, Appendix mm-hmm. D, basis of cost evaluation used in the options report. Very simple. It's obviously it's just a rough estimate, but I think that would go a long way towards allaying people's fears and also being up front with the cost rather than being in a defensive position where we have to explain the costs. This is going to be the case with the Bay News article.
To clarify, I think the issue with Bay News was they just grabbed the wrong row of a table.
Can you give this to me?
But sure. I do want to point out, too, that appendix is available. That's available on the website. It's available with the document. and folks can have easy access to that.
Right, but a lot of people don't look at the technical documents, whereas if you just give them a simple flyer, you know, just the excerpt from the document, that'll go a long way, I think.
Okay, that adjourns this meeting, and we will meet again July 5th at 3 p.m., probably at the Vets Hall.